about.
You gotta put it into perspective.
Victor Fuentes, 16-12-1. Hello? Hello?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah!
I was drinking Caribou Lou on the carnival rides and got up. Apparently, I passed out, and then my homeboy shows up out of nowhere and gets me back to the tent. Man, apparently, I fell out in the middle of the road. Apparently, I had him up come up to me and ask me how I am. That's how bad it was. It was a spectacle, and I don't give a because that was righteous.
You're a dumb douchebag.
How old are you?
7.
What do you think of No Cussing Week?
Bullshit, man.
They grew up so fast.
They hit a new low point.
Good morning, reasons why I drink.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, Kevin.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Are you drunk?
Roll another one.
And what would the answer to that question be?
Just like the other one.
Is that what's troubling you, friend?
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's like a thought no thoughts had on.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Let's shine.
Are you serious?
Roll another one.
I've just been nailed, 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 nailed.
Just like the other one.
Would that be right? Seriously, Tommy, I don't know.
This one seems to be about to
end. Anyway, what a night it was.
Try masturbating. It's very relaxing and it's not fattening.
Wake up, it's smoked sausage o'clock.
Just pass it around.
No, that's not true.
God, that is one nice ass.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
I love you. Oh my God, with your cheekbones and your guitar playing, and it's all very, very attractive and very, very talented.
Our feature presentation.
That is a very sweet way to begin. Thank you, young lady. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Welcome into another all-new Kevin Bean Show, this time for a finally Friday, the 28th of March. Hi, kids.
Bean is in the studio, and I have icicles forming in my eyebrows.
Muggs, I got a problem here because I like it cool in the studio. So I turn it down a little lower than what y'all are used to here.
You like it like a vampire likes it.
Dude, 68 is not freezing.
You are not normal.
And when Ralph
want it to be 68.
I want it to be 60
64,
is what I want. When
yeah.
Ralph walks in here in 20 minutes and says, oh, are we hanging meat? I'm telling you, you don't hang meat at 65 degrees. You just don't, okay?
65. It's inhumane.
It's not inhumane.
I'm going to die.
But here's my problem. Half the draw of being in the actual studio at K-Rock is, you know, checking out Lisa. She's in a parka.
I am in a parka.
She's covering up all her good bits.
And I have a scarf, and I have a sweater, and I have a shirt under my sweater, and I'm wearing Uggs.
And a hoodie and gloves.
She looks like the little kid from A Christmas Story. She
does. That's how I feel.
So what good does that do me?
Well, you think about that, mister, and we'll reassess.
So how hot does it need to be in here for some of that to start coming off?
You know, I like the 70.
Wow. I don't know if I could do 70.
No.
But.
Well, right.
And then I'm in studio. And by the way, I want to thank everybody who came out to the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center last night. I was out there with Adam Carolla. Kevin came back from vacation to join us on the event last night. Dr. Drew was there. It was great to see him in person. Our friend Doug Benson, Mark Maron.
Wow.
Real good time.
Yeah.
So thanks to everybody who came out. So that's why I'm in studio this morning. And then you walk in and then you go, oh, Beer Mug's working here. It's easier to forget that fact when you're separated by 1,100 miles.
Right.
And you just walk. It's like you walk into the studio and you see mugs. It's like when you walk in at home and you smell something, you realize, you know, Rudy's pooped.
How dare you?
So that's kind of what it's like having mugs in studio, seeing him in person. But
compare me to dog poop?
That's no favor to dog poop, I'll tell you that. Anyway, before we get started, and we do have an excellent program for you today. This story, I know you've been following it, Lisa, out at LAX, this baggage heist.
Oh, yeah. Quite a deal.
How is this still happening? Look, we've all heard incidental stories of, yeah, I went through security and somehow somebody stole a radio or somebody stole an iPod or somebody stole, you know, my money or whatever it was. This is what is believed to be the biggest baggage theft operation in the history of Los Angeles International Airport.
And we've had some big ones.
Yes. They suspect at least 14 baggage handlers stole thousands of dollars in electronics, jewelry, and other high-priced items.
Wow.
So this is not one bad apple.
Yeah.
This is everyone's getting in on the action.
Well, you know, you've had that little note in your bag, right?
Absolutely.
This was opened by the TSA. Like, I don't leave anything in that bag valuable anymore, ever.
I came back from Miami on Sunday, and my bag was half open coming down the baggage return. I'm like, usually it's not open.
Right.
The TSA will close up. It was half open.
Well, they were they ran out of time pulling all your valuables out. How is it in all the years we've been having TSA, and I know it's a complicated operation, I know it involves a lot of moving parts and a lot of employees, and I just don't understand how they can't have cameras on every part of that operation.
That's a good point. I don't know. They don't?
They don't.
That's stunning.
It's also a surprise to me. Maybe it shouldn't be. It's a surprise to me that some TSA employee who's not stealing wouldn't see one of the other TSA employees. I get the impression that they work fairly nearby one another.
Yeah.
Why isn't somebody ratting everybody else out? It's crazy to me how many people were involved in this. Police allege that the thieves worked in tandem for at least several months stealing from bags and other property in a secured area of the airport. Some of the items were then sold on Craigslist. So basically they figured out who some of these workers were and had search warrants on homes and lockers and just found stuff all over town. So I don't know what they're going to do about that, but that's
Well, put in cameras. That would be number one, it seems like.
I stayed in a hotel once. I was down here for work many years ago. I've never been back to this hotel. And I'll even tell you what hotel it was because I'm never going back there again. It was the Beverly Wilshire Hotel.
So nice hotel.
They have a valet situation, but where the car goes into the garage and there's one area of the car going into the garage and being parked that is not shown on camera. And apparently, my guess is, that's where they stop and empty out all of the Christmas presents from your trunk that you've bought while you're in L.A.
No.
I went to get my car the next day. I opened up the trunk to put my bag in, and it was empty. Everything was gone. And I was down here for Christmas shopping. I'd done tons of Christmas shopping, stuff I was going to take back.
Oh, my God.
And it was all gone. And I went to the hotel, and they said, can't help you. Can't do anything
about
it.
We're not responsible.
Not responsible. Yep.
Even though you have to park here.
Yes, that's right.
And you have to
use a valet.
Take the car.
Right.
Exactly. That's BS.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a case where I guess my only other option would have been literally to carry armloads of stuff up to the room to bring back down the next morning.
Oh, my God.
You shouldn't have to do that.
No.
Don't steal stuff, folks. Right?
Yes.
Right.
My lesson was don't go Christmas shopping, but okay. Don't steal. That's good, too.
All right. Let's take a look at today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
This definitely calls out to me.
Well, I understand why, because we got a great show, including Anthony Mackie on the program today. He's one of the stars of Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
All right.
He is the Falcon, ladies and gentlemen. Ralph right now is somewhere going, squee! Also, we'll give you a chance to win some tickets before that opens a week from today. We've got a K-Rock screening next Wednesday, so you win Captain America tickets on the program. Comedy legend Norm MacDonald joins us on the show today.
Yes, he does.
Also, we've got tickets for you to go see The Offspring, and you get a chance to meet and greet them backstage. And our friend Eddie Ift will be here. Not only is he hilarious, but he's going to help us give you another box to see April Foolishness next Saturday.
Another one?
Yes.
Wow.
You and nine friends.
That's so cool.
Get to go to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Tickets are still available. Just a few left at Ticketmaster. If you want to get those, it's next Saturday night at the Shrine. Proceeds to some great local charities, and you can win them this morning on the show as well. And the Showbiz Beat is coming up next here on K-Rock. So what happens now? Oh, I see the door opens and Ralph Garman walks in.
Yeah, and then he comes in while you're talking.
Okay, so in this and 5 seconds or something like that, that's his that's his entry music.
It's always a good idea, first break, first showbiz break, to stretch it out a little.
Okay, all right.
And just do that.
Well choreographed. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hey, what's up, boys and girls?
What's going on, man?
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow is still a bitch. That hasn't changed. She seems just set on adding more new age words.
Has she said or done anything since that initial statement on Goop?
Yes, yes. Besides her conscious uncoupling, she's also currently on a breakup moon.
I don't know what
breakup
that is.
Moon?
Well, Lisa, of course, a breakup moon is the vacation you go on with your significant other when you're going through conscious uncoupling.
Obviously.
As opposed to a honeymoon, you go through a breakup moon.
You're kidding.
So
no.
She and her husband went away together?
This is a thing that they're doing. They went away together to be out of the country when they released the news about their pending split.
Okay.
Because they're better than everyone else.
Are they together? Like they went someplace together?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they went to a very small isolated island in the Bahamas before she posted her conscious uncoupling statement on Goop.com. to avoid the media attention following their uncoupling announcement. So it's their breakup moon, they're calling it.
What's we keep dissing her, but he's right there with her.
Yeah.
They are presenting a united front.
Yeah.
He's been dosed with some sort of psychotropic medication.
What's the...
someone rescue him.
What do you think the sex policy is on a breakup moon?
I bet none.
Okay.
I bet it's
maybe you still
none,
have it, you just don't
policy.
Enjoy it. You're trying to ease your way out.
I don't think he ever enjoyed it. Speaking of Gwyneth being just a bitch... She has a new statement that she did in an interview before the conscious uncoupling statement. Part of an interview where she talked about how hard it is to be a movie star. She's just spectacular. She's the best.
She needs one friend who's not in the industry. Yes.
She wouldn't
to
dream
sit
of
down
it.
With her.
She would not
I
dream
know.
Of that, Lisa. It's never in a million years. If you don't have a certain bank account number.
If you're not a designer.
A certain status level, you don't get near her.
Yeah.
Now, did she also talk about how hard it is being white and pretty?
And having famous parents?
Here's how tough it is to be a movie star versus being a mom with a regular job. Okay, here's the statement.
Right.
I think it's different when you have an office job because it's routine and you know you can do all this stuff in the morning and then you come home in the evening. But when you're shooting a movie, they're like, we need you to go to Wisconsin for 2 weeks and then you work 14 hours a day and that part of it is very difficult. I think to have a regular job and be a mom is not as, of course there are challenges, but it's not like being on a set.
Oh my God.
Bitches be crazy.
She's delightful. She really needs to stop talking.
An op-ed writer to the
She's
New York
just digging
Post
that hole.
Got a hold of that quote and went off on a hilarious article. Get a chance to, if you get a chance to read it, you absolutely should. Where she said, in agreement in quotes with Gwyneth, it's true. Sometimes with an office job, my mornings are obviously pretty leisurely. Sometimes I even have time to drink half of my coffee before it gets cold. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Look, isn't the...
She's goopy.
Isn't the consensus, Ralph...
That she's a bitch.
No. Just to the bigger point. The consensus is, there are some difficult things about being an actor.
Yes.
There are long hours, and there are lots of times away from home sometimes. But there's still nothing to complain about in that line of work.
Think of the rewards.
Think of the rewards, and think of your life compared to the normal person that you're dissing, talking about your schedule.
Would you be willing to work 14 hours a day... for 3-4 months and then have the rest of the year off.
Yes, right. I would,
and
Ralph.
Have being paid enormous amounts of money.
And while I'm doing that work, somebody is handling everything.
Yes.
I have assistants. I don't cook a meal. I don't
clothes.
Clean a room.
They
I
put
don't...
your makeup on.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It can be tiring work, but it's not anything like a real job.
Exactly.
Nothing like it. James Franco, by the way, is stepping up saying, no. No, I never slept with Lindsay Lohan. I don't care what name she wrote on her list.
If I were him, I'd say that too.
Us Weekly magazine, of course, published that 36-person-long sex list that Lindsay allegedly wrote in her own hand at the Beverly Hills Hotel and then left behind in January. It was a who's who of celebrity guys. Zac Efron, Justin Timberlake, Adam Levine, Ashton Kutcher, including James Franco.
Maybe it was a wish list, Ralph.
Maybe. He just released a book of poetry. James Franco has that mentioned several celebrities, including Lindsay, and then he told Los Angeles Magazine about the book. I didn't write anything bad about them, the celebrities in question. And Lindsay herself has told lies about me with her people she slept with list, so I feel like what I said is much less than what she said.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
Or was I?
Airtime. No way. Not ever.
And here's a new reality show coming to Fox. A new reality dating show that'll be out in May called I Want to Marry Harry. The Harry in question, England's Prince Harry. And Fox has recruited a dozen women from across the United States and sent them overseas on the premise they'd have a chance to date and then perhaps marry Prince Harry.
And that's clearly a lie.
What the network didn't tell them is that they hired a British guy who looks like Prince Harry, gave him a royal makeover, in their words, and then turned him loose amongst the 12 women.
So somebody's impersonating Prince Harry.
Yes.
And the women all fell for it and all thought they were vying literally to marry royalty.
Yeah.
That's on them. If they're dumb enough to be part of that, that's on them.
Producer of the show?
Yes.
Ryan Seacrest.
Of course it's Ryan Seacrest.
Has he ever been involved in anything that's good?
That's a great question.
I can't think
of
anything.
Look at his IMDb page.
Any quality TV.
Wow. Wow. Maybe not.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Reba McEntire is 59 years old. Your old co-star, Lisa.
Yes, I still get checks.
Sure you do. From Reba herself, probably. Mm-hmm. Written in her own hand.
What are they down to, by the way? 80 cents?
Sometimes they're like $6.
Wow.
But sometimes Lisa, they're 80 cents.
Lunch is on you. Salt of Salt and Pepper is 48 years old today. Vince Vaughn celebrates his 44th birthday. Actor Nick Frost. You love him, all those movies with Simon Pegg. He's going to be on an American TV series coming up this fall.
He's coming in next week, I think, Ralph.
We
love Nick.
He's 42 years old. Julia Stiles celebrates her 33rd birthday. And Lady Gaga is 28 years old today. The celebration is going to have someone throw up birthday cake all over. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Fitz. Thank you, Tantrums. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Captain America the Winter Soldier opens in a week. In about a half an hour or so, we'll talk to the Falcon himself, actor Anthony Mackie. Speaking of movies, Ralph is here. It's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Several small films being released this weekend in limited release. There's a couple big ones as well, including a new Arnold Schwarzenegger film. But let's start off with Breathe In. This looks like a fascinating family drama. It's not a new story. We've kind of seen it before. Guy Pearce plays a teacher in a small upstate New York town. When he decides that he and his family will host a foreign exchange student. When she shows up, she's Felicity Jones, all British, all smoking hot, all crazy, insane. And
so far, so good.
As you can imagine, Guy finds himself attracted to the young lady who's a free spirit, and she's attracted to him, and that doesn't bode well for his family dynamic or the neighbors or what have you. As I said, not a new story, but it looks like it's really well done with a great cast, including Amy Ryan, Felicity Jones, Guy Pearce. Here's some scenes from the trailer of Breathe In.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Lauren. Nice to meet you.
Everybody, this is Sophie Williams. She's an exchange student from the UK.
You got a very attractive young lady over there staying with you.
You ever make you think twice?
You don't seem as young as you actually are.
One day you'll be free.
Ah!
Uh-oh.
His wife doesn't like that for some reason.
Her what a speed bump she there. Is, man. Jesus.
Raid 2 opens up this weekend. If you like The Raid, here's some more of it. Raid 2 takes place a short time after the original Raid. Now Rama goes undercover with thugs of Jakarta and plans to bring down a syndicate and uncover the corruption within his own police force. It's The Raid 2. Hey, 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 ha, hey, ha, hey, ha, hey. Yep.
It's weird that Kevin is on vacation, yet we all know exactly where he'll be today.
Oh, love for thread. Red Fuzzler is so loud. I'm like a party bus to everyone, Red 2.
I think the perfect movie for Kevin is a movie with no dialogue.
Yeah, and then he wouldn't like Cesar Chavez. This is in limited release as well. It is, in fact, a film biography of the legendary civil rights activist and labor organizer, Cesar Chavez. Michael Pena stars in the film, along with Gabriel Mann and Rosario Dawson. Here's some clips from the trailer of Cesar Chavez.
We have a
laws to protect us here.
What if something happened to us?
With the boycott, there are no laws to stop us.
What would happen to the kids?
This is about being a man.
What are you doing?
I'm standing up because somebody asked you.
For 7.
This is the moment, Caesar. This is what we came here to do.
You can't oppress someone who's not afraid anymore.
Why are we afraid of Cesar Chavez
because
now?
We can't oppress them anymore. Now what are we going to do?
Okay.
Now they're going to rise up and stop picking our lettuce. Sabotage!
Hey, spoiler alert, by the way.
Sabotage. 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 Arnold Schwarzenegger stars in Sabotage opens up this weekend. Sam Worthington turns Howard and Olivia Williams are along for the ride. Arnold Schwarzenegger plays the member of an elite DEA task force who made the poor choice of robbing a drug cartel safe house. Now they find themselves being taken out one by one, their families and even their own lives threatened by this cartel. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the head of the DEA task force, as I mentioned, and no one in the film bothers to stop and ask, why are you talking with that accent? You're from America and you're a DEA agent. In this particular scene from the film, Arnold is having a little bit of an altercation with the members of his task force. They're getting a little squirrely because things are starting to go bad around them, and he is trying to explain it all away.
Just let it go, huh? It's a goddamn money. Just let it go, all right? Yeah!
It's an occupational hazard when you fight the cartels.
Oh, really? You see any other feds getting smoked?
It could happen to anyone.
Both! You believe that, Chief? Or is that just some shit you're spitting in case this place is bugged?
Always assume that someone is listening.
I ain't gonna fight you, boss.
Rubber.
Anyone could do it with the cartel.
I've not been paying attention to the press on this film. Is it, and this is a sincere question, is it a comedy?
No.
It's not?
No.
Oh.
Now the members of the cartel.
I love that. He's an American DEA.
It's the way it is here in America when we Americans fight the cartel.
I just wondered why he's yelling like that.
Why
if
is
it's
he
not
upset with the cartel? They haven't sold records in 30 years.
And lastly, Noah.
Oh, this is the one.
Storms into Cineplexes this weekend.
Yay!
A flood of interest for this film.
What?
So go two by two to the theater. Noah stars Russell Crowe, Jennifer Connelly, Anthony Hopkins, Emma Watson. What a cast.
What a cast indeed.
One man is chosen by God to undertake a momentous mission of rescuing all the animals before an apocalyptic flood comes down to destroy the wicked.
It's science.
Across this world to take out the bad people. Noah is that man. He's been chosen. God has come to him and said, Noah, build me a sweet-ass boat and take some of these animals and get the F out of here.
Now, the neighbors must look at him like he's a crazy man, right?
More importantly, what about the leaders, the local leaders of these of this tribe Noah's part of? He's made enemies, and they think it's about that. It's how he's going to try to escape his enemies in that boat, but Noah knows he's got bigger fish to fry. Here's a scene from Noah.
Did you really think you could protect yourself from me in that? It's not protection from you. Then what is it? An ark. To hold the innocent when the Creator sends his deluge to wipe out the wicked from this world.
Return to your cities of Cain. No, we have all been judged.
I have men at my back, and you stand alone and defy me. I'm not alone.
I love that Russell Crowe so much, Ralph.
And he is one of those rare actors who can play any genre from any period of time and be completely believable. You feel like you're watching a guy from the historic biblical times when you watch him in this film.
And also it's worth mentioning the secret weapon this movie has that's attractive to me is Darren Aronofsky as the director, who
is, the director,
is always, always interesting.
And is a big boat, too. Apparently Jennifer Connelly, Russell Crowe in the front at one point get to the front of the boat and he says, I'm the king of the world! And they hold on to each other.
Are you sure?
Very, very
that
sexy.
Seems like you're confused.
He draws her and she's like all naked.
I don't think that's the same.
She just puts like a lemur on her chest. And just,
I don't believe that's the same.
Sketches with her. It's
film
very
at all.
Sexy. Bring your wives, bring your girlfriends, bring your wife and your girlfriend and please enjoy Noah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie Beat.
The great Norm MacDonald joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, our friend Eddie F. will be here with your April Foolishness tickets, and you can win tickets to Coachella as well coming up at 9 o'clock. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday morning where I take you to Russia. Lisa, have you heard the latest that Vladimir Putin is doing? Which is, he's doing what Michelle Obama is trying to do for America, which is to get the citizens in shape. You know how she's got that thing where she's trying to get all the kids to exercise, yes, trying to get all Americans to eat right? Well, that's what they're doing over there in Russia. Vladimir Putin has brought back the Stalin-era fitness program called Ready for Labor and Defense, where he basically is trying to tell Russians, hey, it's time to get it together.
Because we need you to labor?
This probably wouldn't be news. We probably wouldn't care about this if he were not enlisting the help of one Steven Seagal to whip the nation into shape.
Well, Steve is, he looks fabulous, right?
No, he couldn't be fatter. He actually couldn't be fatter. There was a time back in the 80s when he was a big-time action star and was in great shape, but he apparently is very close to Vladimir Putin. He's a huge fan. He says he's one of the great living world leaders. He recently took a tour of newly constructed sports complexes with Mr. Putin, and apparently he is rumored to be in charge of getting the citizens of Russia into fighting shape. And we thought, we have many questions for this.
Uh-huh.
So let's get Steven Seagal on the phone with us. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Steven, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing fine. So I don't know if you heard before we went to you on the phone, but it sounds like you and Mr. Putin are pretty tight.
I consider him a brother.
Okay. And he has come.
He's one of the great leaders of our time.
Yeah, so he has come to you,
yes,
to inspire the 150 million citizens of Russia to get in better shape. Why you?
Because I have a great long history of physical fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am one of the great martial artists of our time. And Vlad also shares a love and passion for physical fitness and for martial arts.
Okay. The last time I saw you, it looked like you were about 60 pounds overweight.
Really?
Yeah.
We don't realize a lot of that is chi. Sometimes my body is filled with chi.
Are you sure it's not cheese?
Yeah, I'm sure. Because I have a lot of responsibilities. And so sometimes my body gets filled with energy that I need to carry out those responsibilities, like getting Russia back in shape.
Okay. What's the plan? What kind of physical fitness plan do you have for the citizens of Russia?
First, they have to put down that vodka.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, drinking. That alcohol will add the calories, right?
Demon vodka.
All right.
Secondly, they have to put down the potato. Mm.
They do eat a lot of potatoes in Russia.
A lot of potatoes.
Yeah. Boy, you got an uphill battle to take vodka and potatoes away. I mean, those are staples of the Russian diet.
Yes, but that's the key. I'm going to have them eat staples.
I think that's just an expression.
No, they're actually going to eat staples.
Well, I mean, that should be effective.
It's filling, and it also pierces the stomach lining,
uh-huh,
which keeps you from getting hungry.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm working with Staples.
Oh, they're sponsoring it?
The Staples Center, yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We're going to have a big Staples event, and I think that's going to be a good idea.
And here I was ready to mock you because you didn't have a plan, and clearly you have thought this out. Steven? Steven?
What's happening?
I'm trying to button my pants.
This is the best cruise ship I've ever been on, you guys. Wow, the band is great. 6:52 on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday morning. Ralph, we're talking to the Falcon coming up next.
I know, the Falcon.
Movie opens in a week. Captain America Winter Soldier Anthony Mackie joins us. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now, what's going on?
This is bad. Give Steve Zahn a break.
We love Steve Zahn.
Yeah, ABC doesn't. They've pulled the plug on his new series, Mind Games, with Steve Zahn and Christian Slater.
Oh, that was such a terrible show, Ralph.
Just after 5 episodes, the show tapered off from a high of $3.6 million for its premiere to barely 2 million viewers for the most recent episode. So ABC has decided instead, America needs to have more celebrity wife swap. Season 3 will premiere in its time slot beginning April 15th. Opening with Daniel Baldwin and Jermaine Jackson trading spouses. So,
boy,
I don't care what you think of that show, Bean. I liked it. And it's better than Daniel Baldwin and Jermaine Jackson swapping spouses.
Look, I am...
No, you look.
I am with you on Steve Zahn. He deserved better material. He's a great actor, and he wasn't the problem on that show. The problem was the dialogue they gave him to say.
I enjoyed that show, but I...
It was no back in the game.
I won't enjoy it any longer. Now I get Jermaine and Jermajesty and... Jermasshole and... All the other gym.
By the way, I wouldn't want to swap wives with Jermaine Jackson. Didn't he kill one of them in the pool?
I have no idea.
Didn't he?
I'm not familiar with that story.
I'll have to look into that. I'd be concerned.
That's alleged.
Yeah, it is alleged. I could be wrong without my details.
Well, we can forget about the rumor that spread last week that Emma Watson was going to play the live-action Ariel in the Little Mermaid movie. The rumor started because Sofia Coppola had already worked with Emma in The Bling Ring. And Emma said it's not going to happen. However, she said she does have the costume at home, but it's an old costume. I actually dressed up as Ariel for my 5th birthday, she told Variety. Would she take the role if she had been offered it, though? If it actually came to pass, she said, I'd have to read it first. Reading scripts. What's wrong with you? Avicii was in the hospital yesterday.
Oh, no.
TMZ.com says... He had to cancel a gig last night in Miami Beach. No word on what was wrong with him. But they found him with Zac Efron under a freeway. That's all I know. No, he was discharged, and he's still scheduled to headline Miami's Ultra Music Festival tonight, so apparently he's not in too bad shape. I'm suggesting it was exhaustion and dehydration.
Well,
just because that's a catch-all.
Yeah, we're talking about a celebrity. I did the research, Ralph. Apparently it was... Tito's wife that drowned in Jermaine's pool.
Oh.
So he didn't kill his own wife.
How nice of you to call Jermaine Jackson a wife murderer.
Well, I just remembered something about the wife in a pool. It was his pool. It was his brother's wife, though.
Interesting.
That's what happened. So just saying, look out.
Christina Hendricks is a big fat liar. The Mad Men star tells Us Weekly magazine that she loves to snack on seaweed chips. It's just like you're eating a potato chip, she lied.
Liar!
Have you ever tasted a seaweed crisp?
I have not.
Yes.
Yeah, it tastes just like a potato chip if you dipped it in ass first.
You know why I haven't tried a seaweed chip? Because potato chips still exist.
Yeah. Seaweed chips. You try one. Try to eat one. I dare you. Christina Hendricks. Just when I thought we had something going, you come and lie to me.
Hey, when's Mad Men coming back? Is it
April 14th, 15th, somewhere in there?
Next weekend.
Second week in April.
Yeah.
Christine McPhee is officially back with Fleetwood Mac. You don't see this very often. The singer-keyboard player left the band 16 years ago. Hasn't toured with them since the dance tour in 1998.
Wow.
She made a surprise appearance with the Mac on stage in London last year, and now she's back for good.
Isn't that interesting?
You very rarely see someone who's left a band for that long come back and rejoin.
I think she thought she would enjoy retirement more than she did.
Yeah, apparently she missed touring because she did enjoy that live show that she did and liked it so much. She's back for the new tour, which kicks off on September the 30th at the Target Center in Minneapolis, then wraps up on December the 20th in Tampa, hitting big arenas all the way across North America. Still a big draw, that Fleetwood Mac. They still fill stadiums.
And now they can do Don't Stop and You Make Love and Fun.
Yeah, all the ones she
all of her songs,
on.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow, she continues to make everyone hate her. Of course, we've been dealing with the conscious uncoupling announcement of her and her husband, Chris Martin. Now we find out that before she posted that statement on her goop.com website, she and soon-to-be ex-husband Chris Martin went on a breakup moon. A breakup moon, you see, is the opposite of a honeymoon. It's what when you take a trip with a significant other when you're in the midst of conscious uncoupling.
Bad idea.
You travel together, I guess, to prove that you really hate each other before you actually split up.
Yeah, the person you want to spend time with after you separate is the person you don't want to be with anymore, right?
Two of them took a trip to a small, remote, private island off of Bahamas. Sources say to get out of the public eye and the limelight. Once the story broke, they didn't want to be available to the media, so they took off together on a trip.
No.
Gwyneth also making waves with a statement that she... gave when she was doing an interview with E, I guess it was, talking about how difficult it is to be a movie star. Mm-hmm. Kind of an incendiary quote that made some working moms less than thrilled with Gwyneth. Here's the statement. I think it's different when you have an office job because it's routine and you know, you can do all the stuff in the morning and then you come home in the evening. When you're shooting a movie, they're like, we need you to go to Wisconsin for 2 weeks. And then you work 14 hours a day, and that part of it is very difficult. I think to have a regular job and be a mom is not as... Of course, there are challenges, but it's not like being on a set. She's right. Being a working mom, 5 days a week, all year long, is nothing like being on a set where someone comes and gives you a coconut oil enema in the morning, whatever it is that she gets in her trailer before she
and an
she
Oscar at night.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Seriously, what the f***?
How is she not aware of how she sounds?
I don't know. She that's exactly what's wrong with her. She has no awareness to how she comes across to other people. And she doesn't know how regular people live.
She really doesn't.
Or think at all.
No idea.
She's been famous and rich and privileged her entire life. And it seems
and all
like
her
has,
friends are.
Has, and she's not like Angelina Jolie where she gets out of the bubble sometimes and lives in the real world.
I know how I wish I was going to college these days. Back when I went to school, we had to learn stuff like math and English and philosophy, history. Now, if you go to Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs, New York, you can matriculate in their class, The Sociology of Miley Cyrus.
What is happening?
Yeah, they're offering a class in Miley Cyrus. Twerking, however, is not on the syllabus. Assistant Professor Carolyn Chernoff says, sorry, dudes, but this is sociology. Learn to twerk on your own time. You're still teaching a class in Miley Cyrus.
What are they teaching about Miley Cyrus? Is it her, what she means in the world?
I don't know, but she's been relevant for about 8 weeks.
Right.
How is that a class?
Right.
Miley, however, is not the first pop superstar to inspire academic examination. Rutgers University currently offers a class called Politicizing Beyonce. Take away their accreditation right now. Take away their certificates. You have a diploma for either of these two schools. Shame on you.
Can I major in Beyonce, by the way? Because I might be interested in that.
Not you. You couldn't major. You could minor in it, given what you're packing in your pants. How? You could minor in Beyonce.
No, you didn't.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Reba McEntire, Lisa's old co-star from they used to do that show together, Reba.
Reba.
We are looking for the tape. Didn't we used to have Lisa's performance in here?
I believe we did, yeah.
For whatever reason, we can't find it.
It wouldn't stick. The performance kept falling off the tape for some reason.
I thought she was dynamic.
Reba's 59 years old today. Salt of Salt and Peppa is 48. Vince Vaughn is 44. Nick Frost, funny, funny man. Talented actor. Never wanted to be an actor. His whole thing was a fluke. His whole career has been a fluke. Bastard. He's 42 years old. Julia Stiles turns 33. And Lady Gaga celebrates her 20th.
Wow, she's still got it.
I prefer Larry King's cover.
Have that for you next hour.
28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Comedy legend Norm Macdonald later this hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, our friend Eddie Eft is going to be here with your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness and Coachella tickets on the way as well. This Anthony Mackie is such a great actor. We loved him in The Hurt Locker and in Pain and Game, but we'll never look at him the same way again after 1 week from today when Captain America the Winter Soldier hits our theaters. The latest in the Marvel Avengers series. Very excited to welcome the Falcon himself to The Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Mackie, welcome, sir.
What's up? Thank you for the round of applause, by the way.
You're welcome.
Only two of us in the room were applauding, but we did try to make a lot of noise to make you feel welcome. So, Anthony.
I like it.
This is big time. Like, it's one thing to make a movie. It's another thing to be in an Avengers movie, right?
100%. I stalked Marvel executives for 5 years to get into this movie, so I'm happy it finally happened.
You have to tell me about that, because I've never heard of somebody literally sitting down and writing letters to a movie company, hey, put me in your film. That's just not how Hollywood works.
Well, you know, I was a big fan of Marvel movies, and I felt like if I was going to do, sooner or later, I knew I was going to do a superhero movie, because I've, you know, been asking and pushing and praying and begging to be in one, so I knew it was going to come to fruition. So I figured after Hurt Locker, you know, would be the best time to just send the shot across the bow. So I wrote him a letter every 6 months for about 5 years until they finally said okay.
Really?
Now, are you on, like, is this the secret or one of those things where you have to invite good things into your life and then the universe will see it your way? Or, I mean, it's such an unusual strategy. Look, every actor out there wants to be in one of these movies. Very few of them go your route.
Well, most actors, I feel, most people in general are just passive-aggressive, especially in our business. You have the agents, you have the managers, and everybody wants to, you know, sit back and just let work come to them. And I felt like after Hurt Locker, you know, everybody was like, oh, my God, that movie was great. You're great. And some people got such huge buzz from that movie, and I didn't. So I used the buzz that other people got to create buzz for myself.
Oh,
so
very
smart. I knew I wanted to do a Marvel movie, and I was like, yo, I'm the black dude in the Hurt Locker. What's up?
That's what it says on your business cards that you hand out, the black dude from the Hurt Locker.
I was like, come on, everybody need one. You know, the Ocean's 11 got Don Cheadle. I mean, everybody need one.
Sure.
I was like, put me in there.
Why not? Now, how about, you mentioned you're a fan of the Marvel movies, but you did not grow up reading the comic books?
I didn't. I was more of a baseball card, fist fight in the backyard type kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't, my mom had a rule. Like, we had a big backyard, a lot of kids in the neighborhood. So my mom would put all the kids in the backyard and let us all have fun. You know, as soon as the street lights came on, you had to be inside.
But you know what? A lot of people will tell you, you know, a lot of actors will say, I grew up on the street playing games with my friends. And in a way, that's kind of when you start acting, right? I mean, you go going all the way back to being a tiny little kid and you're playing cowboys and Indians and whatever.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I was, you know, in my neighborhood, it was great because there were so many kids. And we didn't have PSPs and stuff like money. So we had to create games and toys. So, you know, it was really a tool that I feel is paying off now, the ability to go in the backyard and just create.
Yeah. Anthony Mackie on the phone with us here, of course, acting in Captain America the Winter Soldier as the Falcon, available in theaters everywhere next Friday. What do you think, what would you tell people who saw the first movie about how different the second movie is? Like, where are we headed?
Well, Marvel kind of figured something out with the Avengers, and they applied it in this movie. You know, this movie is really Avengers 1.5, because it picks up where the Avengers left off everything that happened in New York. And, you know, this is Cap coming directly from New York in D.C. And with this movie, what's really dope, they figured out that a slight tinge of comedy with the seriousness of the situation really gives the audience a chance to breathe and relax into the movie and invest in the characters. The Russo brothers had a great idea of what movie they wanted to make and how they wanted to make it. So they really cast this movie accordingly. That's why, you know, you have Robert Redford and Sam Jackson doing this movie, because, you know, the Russo brothers were really intelligent and smart in the caper that they wanted to make, not the superhero movie.
Yeah.
You know, Captain America 1 was more of an origin movie. This one, you know, they wanted people to see why Captain America was Captain America. So you get to see him do all of his action stuff, all of his fight sequences. You get to see why he's a superhero.
How ridiculously buff.
A lot of ass.
Yeah, we know what Chris Evans has to go through to be Captain America. What's it like for you to have to be the Falcon? Do you have to be super buff, too?
Well, I was lucky. I was coming off the heels of Pain and Gain. So in Pain and Gain, I've gotten up to like 215 pounds.
Yeah, you'd put in the work and, already.
Yeah. So it was basically about coming down. So I stayed in the gym because I knew about the movie 5 months before I was before we started shooting. So I literally just stayed in the gym doing more cardio, and I have a great trainer down here in New Orleans, and he literally just took me to task every day.
Did you make any attempt to try to act like a bird in the way that you moved?
I did. Every funny you should ask. I went online and did a lot of bird research and study vehicles, and we have a little, like, insectarium here with all these birds and stuff in it. So the idea of the Falcon, which I feel is interesting, you know, when you're flying, a lot of people don't think, wow, it's really cool to fly, but what happens when you land, you know? So you have to figure out a way to land to where you're not landing on your face.
Hey, any pilot will tell you that flying is easy, landing is hard.
That's the hardest part, man. there were a few days where my landing sequences didn't work out too well.
I hope those will be on the blooper reel of the Blu-ray.
I hope so, because you should see. I have one of the best stuntmen in the business, this guy named Aaron Tony, and we've done like 5 or 6 movies together.
Oh, nice.
And literally, the difference between him landing and the difference between me landing is kind of amazing.
All right, in our final minute here with you, Mr. Mackey, you're young enough in the business. You've been working a while, but you're still young enough. I bet that when you walk onto a movie set and Sam Mother Effing Jackson is there and Robert Redford is there, I bet that's still a thrill, right?
Oh, definitely. Because of Sundance, I've known Rob for about 8 years now.
Oh, you're over it then.
No, not at all. Sam Jackson has been my mentor and confidant for like 10 years. So, but at the end of the day, you know, I was very upset that Chris got to work with Robert Redford and I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and he got to work with Sam Jackson, you know, so it was kind of like a twofer for him. So it's it never gets old. I mean, you show up on set and you realize, you're like, yo, that's Butch Cassidy. That's him. That's the guy.
That's right. That's right.
And Redford couldn't be more of a normal person, so it just makes it easy.
Well, it's an amazing cast, obviously, with you as the Falcon. Chris Evans is back. Colby Smulders is back. George St. Pierre is in this film. Scarlett Johansson, of course. It's just everything we ever wanted in another Marvel movie. We're so excited about Captain America, the Winter Soldier, opening everywhere next Friday, including in 3D and IMAX. Anthony, congratulations on your hard work paying off. We can't wait to see you on the big screen. We'll talk again soon, sir.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. If you want to see Captain America, the Winter Soldier, ahead of it opening next Friday, we have a KROQ screening next Wednesday. We are looking for Captain America fans. You know, Ralph's people, Roland's people.
Right.
Comic book geeks. If that's you, call right now on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to earn those tickets. We got a game up for you next here on KROQ. We were just talking to the Falcon, Ralph.
Ah.
And now we want to give away tickets for the KROQ screening of Marvel's Captain America 2, the Winter Soldier. It's coming up on Wednesday at the AMC Century City 15. The movie's in theaters a couple of days later. And this is going to be all Captain America?
It's all Cap. All Cappy. All the Captain. Because I want to give this to hardcore Captain America fans. These are questions that the hardcore Cap fans will know.
All right.
It's time to get Cappy. We're playing Cappy. Come on. Cappy.
All right. Mike is going to be our first contestant. No drawing. If you are able to answer Ralph's trivia question, you get to see Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Mike, you're up first with Ralph Garman. Good luck.
Mike, do you know your Cap? You know your Cap trivia?
I think so.
All right. In 1941, Mike, Captain America made his first comic book appearance in what comic book?
Sergeant Fury and the Howling Commandos.
No, I'm sorry, sir. Captain America Comics number one. Couldn't have been easier.
Nice.
Captain America comics.
That's a nice pull he came up with, by the way. Wrong answer, but still a pretty...
Sure, Sergeant Fury.
Exactly.
Later Nick Fury, of course.
Let's see what Don's got going on. He's on line two. He joins us next on KROQ.
Don,
good morning, guys.
Do you know your Cap trivia?
Yes, I do.
All right, we'll see. All I need from you is name the two men who created Captain America. His creators, the author and artist.
Simon, Jack Kirby.
Well done, sir. You know your Cap.
There's a fan right there. Congratulations. Enjoy the film. Jerome is up next. He's on line three.
Jerome?
What's going on?
Hey, man. During the 1970s, Steve Rogers, who of course is Captain America, became disillusioned with United States politics and felt he could no longer represent the U.S. government. So he became a man without a country. He took off his Captain America costume and became a brand new superhero. Do you know the name of that hero?
Nomad.
Well done, sir.
That sounds like dark times for Captain America,
by the
way.
Dark times. Dark times for America, Bean, quite frankly. It's post-Nixon. We're talking post-Nixon.
Let's go to one of the many adorable young women on... Oh, I'm sorry. No, we got Sal. He's up next on line four.
Stop it. No.
Well, I could have chosen Art or Lytle or Alex.
Stop it. Steve Rogers, of course, was a scrawny wannabe soldier when he was subjected to the Super Soldier Serum. What was the secret code name for that project that made Steve Rogers Captain America?
The government code name for that project.
The code name for that project was Super Soldier.
No, I'm sorry. Project Rebirth. Project Rebirth was good, the code name.
Good guess, though, Sal. Thanks for playing. Let's go to Art. He's up next, line five.
Art?
What's up?
Captain America's biggest villain, his arch villain, the Joker to his Batman, if you will, is, of course, the Red Skull. It was the bad guy he fought in the very first issue of his comic book. Do you know the Red Skull's real name?
Oh, no. It's Hein? No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Johann Schmidt.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shoot.
Johann Schmidt. Nazi.
Sounds like a bad guy.
Nazi Johann Schmidt.
Thank you for trying. We got time for a couple more questions for Captain America Winter Soldier. Ralph, apparently I owe you an apology because apparently Maggie joins us on the phone. She's on line six.
Ha-ha-hee-ha-ho.
So a lady got through.
Maggie, do you know Captain America?
Yes, kind of. Yeah.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, this isn't going to go well for you. In 2007, in the comic books, Captain America famously was shot and killed in a story arc called The Death of Captain America.
Hey, spoiler alert.
It's 2007. Oh. It's okay. What beautiful female S.H.I.E.L.D. agent ended up being responsible for shooting Captain America under hypnosis?
Oh, my God. I know that. It was his woman, and mm-hmm. it was Sharon Carter.
Well done, Maggie!
Maggie, you are representing all the girl geeks out there this morning. Very well done, my dear.
Shot by his own girlfriend.
That's that's tough, man.
Bitches,
that's tough.
Man. Right? Bitches? Right. You with me?
They be crazy, Ralph. They be crazy.
Bitches.
How about one more? How about our friend Lionel? He's on line seven.
Lionel?
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Yeah, what's up?
Lionel, this version of Captain America with Chris Evans is not the first time that Cap has been represented in film. There was a 1944 serial starring Captain America. There was two TV movies in the 70s featuring Captain America, and there was a 1990 feature film starring Captain America. Can you give me any of the other actors who have played Captain America on film?
Let's see.
You got three guys to choose from. Just give me one of those three actors who played Captain America before on film.
Adele Dazeem.
Not Adele Dazeem. She never played Captain America. No. I just need actors who played Cap before.
Yeah,
we would have accepted Dick Purcell from the 40s, Reb Brown from the 70s, or Matt Salinger from the 1990 film.
Heard of any of those people.
Yeah.
Well, Matt Salinger is the son of J.D. Salinger, who wrote Catcher in the Rye.
No kidding. Yeah.
Did any of them ever work again in show business? Or was
Reb Brown did. He worked off and on, but the rest of them pretty much faded into obscurity.
Captain America Winter Soldier opens everywhere 1 week from today. Thanks for playing and being all cappy with us. Tickets to go see The Offspring and a chance to meet and greet with the band backstage. That's coming up next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, our friend Eddie Ift will be here. Speaking of comedians, what a thrill to welcome one of the all-time greats back to The Kevin and Bean Show. Norm Macdonald playing the Irvine Improv with four big shows this weekend, including two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow night. Tickets available at improv.com. Mr. Macdonald, how are you, sir?
Good morning to you. Good morning to you all.
What does Norm Macdonald think when he hears that crazy electronic music at 7:30 in the morning? How's that sound to you, Norm?
Good God, man. It pierced my ear like a stingray.
That's a tough way for you to wake up, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. There's not a good way to wake up.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I was just pondering. I was just ruminating on that. Because I set my alarm clock and to get up to do this interview that's not a good invention. It's called alarm. It has alarm right in it.
A guy like you has the luxury of being a guy who works at night. You have the luxury of rolling out of bed at 11:30 or 12 most days if you want, right?
Yeah, I get up around 12 o'clock and I take a shave, brush my teeth, sit around for 7-8 hours and go on stage and tell some jokes.
Yeah, that's right. At the Irvine Improv this weekend. I know, Norm, that in recent years we've seen you having a lot to do with sports. You had that sports talk show for a while. You do that the poker commentary stuff that you do. I'm fascinated with that aspect of your life. Like poker, for instance. What got you so into poker? Is it because you love the math of it, or is it a way that you thought you could crack it and win a lot of money? What was the attraction for you?
Well, I got interested in compulsive gambling. And it became a little hobby of mine. And then the good thing about poker is you can bleed money a lot slower.
Okay.
So that's what got me.
But
got me away.
You mock, but you actually have been pretty good at it for a long time too, right?
Yeah. I accidentally got good at it. But it started from my gambling obsession, and then I became – I was always good at mathematics.
Yeah, I was thinking that – I mean, that's the advantage to playing a game like poker. Now, you tweeted something the other day about roulette too. Is that a game you'd ever play?
Well, I think I may have tweeted about the Russians and how they ruined the basic tenets of socialism and roulette.
I don't think I've heard that.
Oh, no, I know. Somebody's asked me what the best bet in Vegas is, what they should do, and I told them they should bet $100 on 32 numbers in roulette.
I'm trying to – I see
– Well, pays 36 to 1, you see, so if it hits any of those numbers, you get $3,600.
Do they allow you to do that? Can you make that bet? They can't.
Oh, sure, yeah, but if it hits one of the other four numbers, you lose.
Wow, that's a crazy strategy. Have you ever tried that?
Sure, yeah.
And how's it work out for you?
It works out for a while.
How about, you talk about gambling, how about like now with March Madness? Is that something you'd be interested in?
I have some coin on March Madness, I'm out of almost everything.
Were you smart enough to pick Dayton? I guess probably nobody was, right?
I picked Dayton in the first round. That's the thing is, you pick the 12 seed in the first round, and then you go, he'll never end. He'll never go past this. So then you knock him out in the second round.
Right, exactly.
But I did have North Carolina State going a long way.
And how's that working out for you?
They lost in the first round.
Yeah, there's a lot of heartbreak in America right now with these as these brackets continue to collapse.
Yeah, I guess they busted the $1 billion bracket in like the first week.
Now, when you talk about a gambling addiction, you play at a lot of places like in Las Vegas and casinos and things like that. You're always around it. Do you not gamble anymore?
No, I don't gamble. I mean, I don't. I never went to a meeting. You know, they have this Gamblers Anonymous, but these guys are a bunch of losers. I mean, this is one thing. I did go to a Gamblers Anonymous meeting, seriously, once. Mm-hmm. And so everybody comes up, and every story ends the same, where the guy's in an alley with whatever, you know. And then one guy gets up and he's like, tells this big long story about how he was on this big winning streak. And then he went up to his hotel room and he had all these chips and he threw them on the bed and it was like millions and he fell into them and he just started crying. He's like, that's when I knew I hit bottom. I had to get out, you know, right when he was on top.
Wow.
So his bottom like hit at the exact right time.
No kidding.
Everyone in the room hated the guy.
I would imagine it would be tough for a celebrity to go to any kind of anonymous meeting because wouldn't the urge be there for everybody else in the meeting to tell their friends, you'll never guess who I met. You'll never guess who's in the meeting.
Oh, yeah. The anonymous part never works. Never works out in those meetings. Also, when you're in the midst of a gambling binge and people want to take your pictures, there's a lot of pictures of me with glassy eyes.
Did you
having lost my net worth times three?
Did you have a it can't be that bad for you because you're not doing three shows on Saturday night, so I know things aren't quite so bad for them. Did you have a rock bottom moment, though, a walk-away rock bottom moment, or was it just a gradual coming to the conclusion that you got to be done?
It was saturation. It was, you know what? It's really more a waste of time than money. You know what I mean? Money comes and goes, but time is too precious to waste on such frivolities.
Very interesting. Norm MacDonald playing the Irvine Improv. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. Norm, are you working on anything to get back on TV, or do you not care about that?
The TV?
Yeah.
This is what a guy said to me yesterday. He said, TV is hot for Norm MacDonald. I'm like, it is?
Did he have anything to back that up, or was it just...
I don't know. I said, I'm listed. Like, why would TV not phone me?
Yeah, you're right there on the Twitter, at Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, well, and I'm in the White Pages.
Wow, White Pages. That's a term I haven't heard in a long time. Well, Norm, have fun in Irvine tonight. It's always awesome when the big names are playing locally. Have fun there tonight. Have fun tomorrow night. Just $25 to see the great Norm MacDonald. Go to improv.com. Great to have you on K-Rock today, man. Thank you.
Yeah, this would turn into a serious interview.
Sorry, that's my fault. I'm sure you came to be funny, and then I asked a lot of dumb questions. I accept your scorn.
Good. It was like that Mark Maron.
Oh, well, I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, no.
It was also a little bit therapeutic for you, so I may be billing you afterwards, Norm. Take care, sir. Thank you, Lisa. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's happening?
This is an interesting list from Us Weekly magazine. These are celebrities who have at one point tried online dating.
Oh, wow. Oh,
interesting. That's had that story a couple weeks ago about the real celebrities who are on Tinder. This sounds like a companion to that.
This is celebrities who have gone on and filled out a profile and tried to meet somebody through one of the online dating services.
And no one must ever believe it's really that person, right?
I'm guessing
the majority of them have been on ChristianMingle.com.
Ah.
That's probably where they go to meet, you know, wholesome, God-fearing people.
Sure.
Lindsay Lohan has admitted to trying online dating.
That's weird.
Imagine setting up that date. You get there to the bar, and it's Lindsay Lohan on the other side. And you say, just open a tab. Just slap down your credit card and just leave it open.
All right, before we go any further, you're paying for the drinks, right, Lindsay?
Orlando Bloom. He's gone to MaleLesbians.com is when he went to. Halle Berry tried online dating.
No, come on. A Bond girl doesn't need online dating.
Would Us Weekly magazine lie?
Although, wasn't Halle Berry one of those celebrities, Ralph, who you've reported complains that she could never find a date?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard time finding
men. No one ever asked me out.
Ashton Kutcher. Online dating.
Wow. To supplement? Because he has always seemed fine.
Yeah, he goes to fivesome.com to find four other women for him and the girl he's currently in the hot tub with. And Adele. Adele has tried online dating. Adele Dazeem.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the singer.
Dazeem.
Sorry. No, Adele, the writer, straight up Adele.
That's a surprise as well.
Speaking of Lindsay Lohan, James Franco stepped forward saying that even though his name appeared on the sex list that Lindsay allegedly wrote at the Beverly Hills Hotel in January, then cast aside, that was picked up by Us Weekly, he's got 36 names on that list, including James Franco's, and he says he never slept with Lindsay.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Such a big
lie. The list, of course, includes everyone from Franco to Zac Efron to Justin Timberlake, Adam Levine, Ashton Kutcher. James says he doesn't know about the other guys, but nope, wasn't him.
Liar! You liar!
James just released a book of poetry that mentioned several celebrities in it, including Lindsay. He told Los Angeles Magazine regarding the mentions, I didn't write anything bad about them. And Lindsay herself has told lies about me with her people she slept with list, so I feel like what I said is much less than what she said.
Don't try to go down to Lindsay's level and roll around in the mud with her.
I'd like to roll around in the mud with her. Sad news. Steve Zahn and Christian Slater's TV series Mind Games on ABC has been canceled. After just 5 episodes, the show had its best ratings the night of its premiere with 3.6 million viewers. It dropped to barely 2 million by the time the 5th episode rolled around. So
people saw it.
ABC said, nope. No, what we need is some quality television in that slot. So get rid of that Mind Games. Let's put it back Celebrity Wife Swap. Season 3 will debut on April the 15th in Mind Games time slot, opening up with Daniel Baldwin and Jermaine Jackson trading spouses.
All of these ideas are terrible.
And Asbury Park, New Jersey, the fire department there just got a newly refurbished ladder truck delivered on Monday. So the battalion chief put in a call to the man who bought the truck for them originally back in 2007. That dude was a guy named Bruce Springsteen.
said, thanks for the donation, boss, and we'd like to name the truck after whoever you say. We're going to name the truck, but we want to consult you. Who would you like us to name the truck after?
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem got the nod. So now the cops, the firemen are driving around in the Adele Dazeem truck. No, Springsteen said without hesitation, the big man.
Yes. Oh, it, how about that?
To be named after the late E Street Band saxophone player Clarence Clemens.
Aww.
So it shall be. The ladder truck has the big man stenciled in yellow on both the front and the sides of the truck, along with a black tenor sax in the background behind it.
So that's a nice tribute.
It's a permanent tribute to Clarence Clemens and, of course, to his long fire hose.
Well, they didn't call him the big man for no reason.
Fire department will also honor. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lady Gaga is 28 years old today.
Poker face. Poker face. Poker face. Poker face.
She sounds rough.
She is a professional.
Look it up in the book.
Julia Stiles is 33 years old today. Actor Nick Frost, you know him from, of course, all those very funny movies he did alongside Simon Pegg. He is 42 years old. Nick's going to be starring in an American TV series coming this fall. Looking forward to that. Vince Vaughn is 44 years old. Salt of Salt and Pepper turns 48. And Lisa's old co-star Reba McEntire.
Reba.
From the TV series Reba, of course, where Lisa and Reba played mixed matched roommates. Remember, one was really sloppy and one was really neat.
No.
They tried to work together.
Odd couple. But we did have a Kevin Amin listener, I think Richard, found the clip on YouTube that we were looking for, Ralph.
Oh, my goodness.
Of Lisa. You want to set up the scene for us before we hear your big line, Lisa?
Well, Reba is divorced from her husband. Her husband is remarrying a younger woman, of course.
That must make Reba crazy.
Reba doesn't want to go to the wedding, but she has to go there because there's something she had to bring.
Sure, probably some potato salad.
She stepped on the dress of the girl and it ripped, and so she had to sew it, but she ended up sewing it to her pants.
What
a comedy of errors.
When this bride walks down the aisle, Reba is behind her with the veil sewn to her pants.
Oh, so, Reba.
And I am in the congregation, you know, and I look around and I see Reba behind this new wife.
All right, here's Lisa from the Reba Show then.
It's the ex-wife. Talk about not being able to let go.
Oh, there you go!
Ladies and gentlemen,
for your consideration.
Thank you.
Lisa Lert on Reba.
Keep those checks coming.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How about tickets to see the off? Let me take that again.
What?
How about tickets to see the Osprey?
What, you got to catch a bus?
very busy. Pete's really busy. How about tickets to see The Offspring? He said more articulately, and a chance to meet and greet them backstage. We got that for you in about a half an hour or so right here on the Kevin Beach Show on KROQ. First, though, Ralph, I'm so glad you're in here. Because
me too.
You may be the person I need to go to explain what the F. Gwyneth Paltrow is talking about.
Listen, she's an arrogant whore. Okay. Here's the thing about Gwyneth Paltrow is she has done everything better than you ever will.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, her life is better and she is special and she is unique and she has goop and she eats the right things and she eats better than you and her face is clearer and her skin is better and she's just magical. So she can't just get a divorce. She can't just break up with her man. Mm-hmm. That's too pedestrian. That's too mundane for the likes of Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's for humans.
That's right. Your marriage fails. Gwyneth and Chris, they are going through a conscious uncoupling.
Oh, so there's no failure involved.
No. Because what turns out, the reason it all happened is not because they're mismatched or they've made poor decisions or they don't get along or
somebody cheated on somebody
or someone had sex with someone else or they had sublimated the wants and desires of their partner for their own selfish needs. No, that's not what happened. What happened is we're all living too long now. And it's not reasonable to expect a couple to stay together because now that we're living longer, it's not part of our biology or our psychology to stay with one partner for our whole lives.
Okay, gotcha.
So they're just they're just more enlightened than the rest of us, and so they are aware of this, and so they are engaging in some conscious uncoupling.
They're smarter than we are because they're aware of the evolving that humans are doing.
That's right.
And
that's
we just haven't caught
evolving.
Up with
that.
Now, was it...
What have you evolved into now?
And they were when they were married, was it 50 or 60 years when they realized that they were living too long?
It was almost 60 years. It was 10. So after 10 years of marriage, they realized that we better get consciously uncoupled so that we can go on to our next conscious coupling with the next person we're supposed to be with, so we can be with them for a couple years, and then we will unconsciously uncouple with conscious coupleness.
They claim that they're the best of friends. That
of
things
course.
Have never been going better.
Look, they took a breakup moon together.
Right. How could they do that if they weren't getting along great?
They took a honeymoon for their breakup. They traveled together to the Bahamas to celebrate their conscious uncoupling together in a trip.
So we thought it would be interesting to hear from Kevin Abean listeners who have found that rare white albino tiger in the jungle that is, hey, we're breaking up, but we're still best of friends.
Yeah, because it only seems to happen, in our opinion, with celebrities. That's where you hear about it, in these news releases whenever someone breaks up. We remain we're the best of friends, and we're going to raise our children together with love and happiness, and everything's kumbaya and brown rice and microdots.
Even couples that I'm familiar with, even relationships that I've had in the past where it's nobody's fault, it's just not a good fit. Mm-hmm. You still aren't friends with that person.
No, of course not.
You're still not hanging out with that person.
Even when you agree that you're both going to go your separate ways, you're still blaming them for the relationship ending. You both want out of it, but it was their fault that it got screwed up naturally. It couldn't be yours. And after it's over, when you see that person again, it's never hugs and kisses. No. It's always an awkward weirdness that you just have to deal with. And sometimes you put on a brave face, but it's not real. It's not a genuine, warm emotion.
I agree.
Now, you know I had a very friendly divorce.
Right.
Yes.
And we are still friendly, but we don't hang out together.
You're the best of friends, aren't you, Lisa?
We're not the best of friends.
You call him in the middle of the night and share your deepest, innermost thoughts.
No, that does not happen.
And you bond over special events and occasions in your life.
No,
you want to be away from that person for a reason.
You know, like three times.
Right,
exactly.
You're choosing to go away from that person. The last thing you want to do is go back and be with that person.
Right.
Well, we want to hear from you if you've
managed. If you're a liar, like with Paltrow, we'd like to hear from you.
If you have managed to have not just a civil breakup, but if you've managed to legitimately walk away but still be best friends.
And, yeah, best friends
best
means
friends.
You spend time together. You
That's
call
right.
each other.
Yes. Unless one of you turned out to be
it's
gay.
It's not just Facebook
I
friends.
I can't imagine
well,
that happening.
We
that
want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Now, we did a little digging, Ralph, into this unconscious coupling this week. Because this was the first time any of us had ever heard this term before, because we're not into the crazy stuff that Gwyneth is.
And because it's made up BS.
Well, let's hear this report, please.
Conscious uncoupling. That's what Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin say they're up to. Not divorce.
No.
Conscious uncoupling.
Conscious uncoupling is that we agree to separate. You're not going to fight. You're not going to argue about money.
With the divorce rate at 50% and climbing, maybe we should all read this essay posted by Paltrow, written by two relationship therapists who proclaim it's conscious uncoupling that prevents families from being broken by divorce.
Has there ever been a divorce in the history of the world that hasn't involved a fight?
No.
Because you'd never get to the point where you broke up if there wasn't a fight.
And I don't care. You're just having coffee in the morning and it's like, you know what? Let's not do this anymore.
Oh, great. Okay.
You know,
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go bang it out one last time and say goodbye. And by the way, this guy, conscious uncoupling means that no more will you have any more broken families because of the breakup. Let me tell you something. When daddy's not living in the house anymore, the kids will notice.
Yes.
I don't care how conscious your uncoupling is. You know who else is conscious? Your children. They're conscious of the fact that daddy lives in another house with a 29-year-old yoga instructor.
Gwyneth says in many ways we are closer than we have ever been, Ralph.
Shut up!
Hey, let's talk to Jared. He's got a...
Do you have a conscious uncoupling when everybody is so happy now they don't get together and eat curry?
Jared, is this a thing? Is there such thing as divorcing but remaining the best of friends? Or is this just another celebrity trying to put a spin on her life to make it appear as she is better than we are?
No, I was calling in because my parents divorced 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was a little kid. I was like 3 years old.
Right.
And they have lived together off and on as like roommates, friends, since then, for the last 40 years. And in fact, my dad lived the last 10 years with my mom and her new husband.
That is madness.
Right. Wow. Is your dad gay?
No, he's not.
No, that was a legitimate question.
It is.
Yeah. That is an exception that Ralph brought up that I can see because there's no hard feelings.
Before.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, so when they first divorced, though, and by the way, don't kid yourself, Jared, you were the cause.
Yeah, of course.
When they first divorced, did they go through at least some time where they split up and dated other people and stuff?
Oh, yeah. No, he was married a couple of times after that. And yeah, I mean.
But when he's not married, he's living with your mother.
Yes.
Well, what was the – well, you were a kid, so you can't be there to say firsthand, but what was the driving force behind the breakup in the first place? Do you know, Jared?
He was a total asshole.
She kind of likes that.
All right.
And you know what? He still is.
And then why is your mom still best friends with him?
I don't know, but that's a great thing.
Jerry. No, I guess if you're a kid, though, if you're a little kid and your parents are still friendly and you get to see them both growing up, that is probably the healthiest possible, you know, except for the option of them still staying together. It's probably the best thing.
We always had great Christmases. I remember that.
How about that? Because you had so many parents in the house.
Yeah, of course.
Right, exactly. Yeah. All right, Jared. Thank you very much for
masking some major dysfunction there. That's got to be my only guess.
There is something weird going on there. It does seem too good to be true. All right, Chris, Cameron, Missy, Melissa, please hang on. We'll get to your calls coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show on Q. Right now, we're talking about conscious uncoupling.
Oh, yes, you must have the conscious uncoupling, because that way the families and the couples will be all together, one in the universe and looking at the skies together.
You mock, Kumar, but Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow are divorcing, yes, but they're remaining the best of friends. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Is this a fantasy unicorn, or is it possible? Let's go to Missy. She's up first here. She's on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Missy, thanks so much for calling and for holding on. What say you?
I was married for just under 10 years, and it wasn't happy when we first broke up, but we're really good friends.
And so describe that. Does that mean you guys have dinners together and you call
we'll
each other?
Dinners.
And
he's going to have surgery next week. He's going to come to my house to recuperate.
Okay, how did that happen? How did first of all, let's get to the heart of the breakup. What happened to break you two up?
Oh, he forgot he was married quite a few times and had some infidelity.
Sure. Okay, so he's banging around. So that...
Yeah. By the way, what are you, uptight?
So that relationship ends not well, I'm guessing.
It wasn't the happiest of times.
Okay, so you didn't have a conscious uncoupling.
I wouldn't say that.
You guys broke up and divorced. Did you have a period where you were steamed at him and you guys weren't even in contact or certainly weren't friendly?
Well, we had to be friendly for our kids, or at least I felt we had to be.
Oh,
and
I see.
And then as, I don't know, like within a few months after I filed for the divorce, it ended up being a blessing. I like him better now that we're not married.
Yeah, because he can bang around and you don't care.
No.
If you didn't have kids together, would you still be hanging out?
Maybe. I don't know. I got stood up for a date a few months back, and we ended up going to the show together.
Yeah, going to the show. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
No.
The vagina show.
All right. Hey, it seems to be working out for you, so good
But
luck.
Even that is like a bad breakup, and then you get less acrimonious as things go along. Gwyneth and Chris say it's magical times right now.
Right now. They went immediately, eliminated all the negative parts and went right to the greatness.
Yeah,
right.
I think that's BS.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Erica. She's on line 5. She's up next. Hi, Erica. What's going on with you?
Hi, guys. So my situation's a little bit unique. I was driving to work right now, and my husband called. He goes, you have to turn on K-Rock. They've got this topic. They're talking about, you know, funny marriages and breakups and stuff.
Yes.
Here's our deal. We were married for 5 years, and we split up. We were apart for a year, got back together for about 6 months, and it was like the worst 6 months because we had all these unresolved emotions about the previous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we tried to make it work, and it didn't. It was awful, and it was just to the point where you looked at it, we watched each other eat, and we wanted to, like, just choke each other out. So we got together one Sunday, and we said, hey, look, we're not compatible anymore, right? Right. It was a very civil agreement as to breaking up. It was sad, but it was civil, right? So we split up. I moved out, got my own place. We have been 100% solid, in love. We're together. But we live in separate residences.
You're Woody Allen.
And our marriage is so much stronger. Our marriage is so much better. We get excited. We get giddy. It's kinky in the bedroom every single night because we miss each other.
Hmm. This is one of the strangest things I've ever heard. So you're married but living separately.
I got to tell you, I heard about it. I heard a friend do it about a year ago, and I would sit there and fantasize and daydream. I wish I could do that. And
well,
it sounds... It's weird. It's not normal.
I will tell you, there's no such thing as normal. Whatever works for you, works for you.
A lot of people, though, one thing they regret when they're married or even living with someone is that personal time. They regret that they don't have the opportunity to be alone and do what they want to do and eat what they want to eat and watch what they want to watch. And I get that.
So you hate each other when you live together, but when you're apart, you really dig each other.
We are absolutely, we're madly in love with each other. We haven't disclosed to our friends. We don't brag about the situation. We talked about, look, let's do this for 6 months, for a year, and see what happens.
So you're still married, and plans are to stay together, just not live together.
Right. Actually, honestly, you know, we take it a day at a time. You know, it's just, it's awesome. It's been great.
Do you guys see other people?
No, we don't. But here's the thing. Here's the bad part. When we broke up and we said, I'm moving my way, you go your way, there is that understanding, okay? You and I aren't compatible, so.
Right.
It's like it's an unspoken agreement. We don't want to think about us moving on. We don't want to think about meeting somebody else. But honestly, I'm not worried about it because I know what I've got when I've got it. You know, it's been solid. It's been wonderful. It's been amazing. We have a child together.
All right. Last question, because we're out of time here, Eric, and I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. Are you as good as Chris and Gwyneth Paltrow, though? Are you as good a people as them, do you think?
Oh, no, we're sick bastards. We're punk rockers from Riverside, man. You go ahead and do the math from there.
Okay. So there's a lot of meth. A lot of meth is what you're saying.
Oh, no, we don't use drugs. I'm sorry.
Okay, sure. All right, whatever you need to say.
You just sell them. We know. All right, thank you very much for the call, my dear.
You're in the back of a cop car right now.
That was interesting, right?
Yeah. That's not even a conscious uncoupling.
No, it's not.
It's like a conscious coupling.
Yes.
In different places.
Yes.
But weird. Like people are weird. That's what we found out today.
Like you said, is there a normal? I mean, there's just every combination of anything you can think of is out there.
You can make something work out in any relationship where you're both happy. That's a win.
How about a pair of tickets to see The Offspring? That's a win. July 11th at the Pacific Amphitheater. You know, tickets are on sale now, but I have no idea. Where do you even, like...
Ticketmaster!
Oh, that's right. You can get them at Ticketmaster.com. But if you want to win Offspring tickets, we're going to play Kevin Bean's title fight. So we're looking for Offspring fans right now. It's a show, July 11th at the Pacific Amphitheater, and a meet and greet with the band. If you want to call, please do 1-800-520-1067. That's next here on K-Rock. Dave Sanchez?
Yes.
Lisa May?
Yes.
You are going to win somebody some Offspring tickets. One of you is going to win for your player on the line tickets to go see The Offspring July 11th at Pacific Amphitheater and a meet and greet with the band. Are you ready to play Kevin and Bean's title fight?
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
So... this is the game where we're trying to get you to say the names of songs by The Offspring. Dave and Lisa are going to be describing the titles as best they can without using any of the major words in the title.
Yep.
45 seconds on the clock. If you don't know the answer, you can pass and you can come back to it at the end. Now, Dave, you always claim to win this game.
I always win, yes. When you say you guys, you mean me.
And doesn't Lisa win like 85% of the time?
I know the last two I've won, for sure.
Yeah, because remember the one that awful, awful contestant.
Oh, it's the contestant's fault.
It is always that.
Oh, that's right, because Lisa gets to pick her contestant. You just get one aside to you,
No, they get a pick, so they pick us. So.
All right, let's go to Justin first. He's on line two. He is our first contestant. Justin, we are going to make you compete first, but the advantage for you is we're going to let you pick your partner. Do you want Lisa May, who always wins, or Dave, who's nothing but a bag of fat Mexican hot air?
I'm going to take Lisa May.
Taking Lisa May.
Looks like Justin's not going to The Offspring.
An excellent choice. All right. Again, we're looking for the titles of Offspring songs. Lisa will describe. 45 seconds on the clock. Let's go.
Okay. These are things you want to quit, like smoking and drinking too much. What are these?
Bad habits.
Yes. This is a dude who's Caucasian and very cool.
You fly for a white guy?
Uh-huh. This is when you want to have a vacation really, really bad. You just have
to get away.
This is what you say to a young person when you think they're going to be very good in life. They're really going to do good things.
Go far, kid?
Yes. This is when a calendar is flipping the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What are those?
Pass.
Okay. Oh, wow.
You did great.
You did fantastic.
Amazing.
All right, thanks for playing. Lisa, I almost dinged you for Gunna there, but I let it slide, and you're going to go far, kid.
Oh, okay.
But Days Go By was the one with the days of the week that we were looking for right there at the end.
Okay.
But you know what? You got four in that time. That's pretty impressive, Justin. That's going to be tough to beat. So you hang on. Let's see how you do, and let's meet your competitor. This is going to be David. He's on line five. He, unfortunately, is stuck with Dave. Pair of Daves here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play, sir?
We got this.
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. Good luck. 45 seconds on the clock. Go.
All right. It's something kids do out of their home.
Pass.
No. All right. Some people have good. Some people
bad
have
bad.
No. You know, it's the way you feel about your...
Self-esteem.
Yep. It's something your parents ask you when you turn 18.
Get a job. Why don't you get a job?
Yeah. All right. If you go on vacation, what do?
Come out and play.
Nope. Let's see.
Pass. Go to the next one.
All right. When you're talking about the bad people, when you're
bad
young.
Habit.
No, when you're young. And there's, what do we say about them? If there's like troublemakers.
Kids aren't all right.
Oh, yeah. So close. Just after the buzzer. Yeah, but you know, even if you'd gotten that one, you still would have only been three to Lisa's four. So I'm sorry. It's not going to happen for
it's
you
Dave's
today,
problem.
David.
It's not mine.
Really? Because you didn't know come out and play or gone away?
How about Justin on line two? You're going to see the Offspring July 11th at the Pacific Amphitheater. Where are those tickets on sale, by the way? Does anyone know? Because
I don't.
Ticketmaster!
Oh, that's right. Thank you, Dave. And you also got to meet and greet with the band, Justin. Thank you so much for listening. All right, dude?
Good job.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah!
There's no one around.
Speaking of 1979, that was the last time the Philadelphia 76ers won a basketball game. Have you been following what's been going on with your Sixers? I know you're not
a
huge basketball fan, Ralph.
Guy,
I know that.
So I don't, really
so I don't in any way mean this as a burn. But your Philadelphia 76ers, Ralph, just lost their 26th straight game.
Yeah. I heard they're going for the record of most losses by any professional sports team ever.
They have tied that record for the most losses, not only in the NBA, but in any of the four major U.S. sports leagues. The last time the Sixers won was back on January the 29th. They are 15-57. That is a new level of futility right
but
there.
But they're going to get Andrew Luck, right? That's the first choice?
I'm not sure that's likely to happen.
The draft
he
something?
May not be the guy to
I
be
don't know.
Doing
I,
that.
I, even when we had Dr. J back in the glory days of what is considered Philadelphia Sixers basketball, I was never really...
I understand.
Really,
it's just any time somebody's that bad, the rest of the even people who don't follow that team or that sport, they start to sit up and go, what's going on over there?
I'm much more interested in USC East now. With Mark Sanchez and Barkley both being quarterbacks for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes,
now.
It's going to be an interesting season. So, all right, Eddie Ift joins us after the top of the hour. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's happening?
An actor passed away who I was a big fan of. He was a very active actor in the 60s and 70s named Sam Jaffe. Passed away at the age of 93 this week. You probably have no idea who he is.
Who's Sam Jaffe, Ralph?
He was an actor in the 60s and 70s, a character actor who was on a popular TV series called Ben Casey for many years. That was his biggest role. But he was also Oscar-nominated for his performance in a movie called The Asphalt Jungle in the 50s. He was in Ben-Hur, The Day the Earth Stood Still. He was an actor from a very young age. He played the legendary water boy in Gunga Din, the feature film based on that legendary book, in 1939.
But he wasn't in the good water boy, the Sandler version.
No, he wasn't in the You Can Do It, not in that water boy version, no. So he had been an actor for a long, long time, just passed away in 93.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
That's right, Kevin. He also has a wooden hand, yeah. Everybody has a wooden hand, Kevin. Does he have to come back next week?
He does, and I'm looking forward to it. I miss him. I saw him last night. He was at the Corolla event that I was at in Redondo Beach last night.
Did he have his pants on?
He had his pants on. He looked like he'd been in a fight, though.
Really?
Yeah, his face was kind of beat up. I didn't bring it up. I thought I'd save it for on the air, but I think he's been hit.
Was he under a overpass of the Harbor Freeway with some homeless people at midnight on Sunday?
His
car run out of gas?
He's on vacation this week. He flew in from Las Vegas. He was pulled away from the tables.
He did get beat up
to do the event last night.
Financially.
But he'd been hit in the face. I can't wait to find out Monday what that's about.
The Polar bus crashed.
Speaking of being under an overpass at midnight on Sunday and getting beaten up by homeless people, now we know what happened with Zac Efron.
All right.
Okay.
Zac went out to get some sushi that night. That's where he was out on the streets at midnight on Sunday.
The best sushi in Los Angeles is on Skid Row, Ralph.
That's a fact. Because it's the freshest. Because the homeless pull it right out of the L.A. River and they just fillet it right there for you. And they wrap it. Instead of using seaweed, they use rolling papers. And it's delicious.
Oh, my gosh. That caprata is so beautiful.
He is beautiful, but he's a big liar.
That's his new story. Is he still doing run out of gas?
No, run out of gas. Okay. But they said, well, what were you doing out anyway? It's midnight on Sunday to run out of gas. What were you doing? Oh, we were going to get some late night sushi.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Liar.
Dismissed. Speaking of dismissing things, Fox has a new reality show they're rolling out in May called I Want to Marry Harry. The Harry in question is England's Prince Harry. Yes, that's right. A dozen women will compete to marry England's Prince Harry.
That sounds like a pretty good get for those ladies.
It is, if the guy wasn't an impersonator.
No.
If it wasn't a Prince Harry impersonator. Producers hired a British guy who looks like Prince Harry, and then they give him a royal makeover, in their words. And then the 12 women are set upon him in a palatial home in Berkshire, England. And they compete for who they think is Prince Harry, but in reality it's just some British guy.
You think
this is Joe Schmo with royalty.
Right, right, right. That's exactly what I was thinking. You think this show will be entertaining to watch?
I don't know. Ryan Seacrest is behind it. You tell me.
Not interested.
I guess it could be, but you know what it is? It's Joe Millionaire, remember?
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
They Which compete was another to, Joe Schmo
they,
ripoff.
They compete to win a guy that they think is wealthy.
They told this guy, oh, he's a millionaire, and all these girls compete for him. Turns out he's some construction worker who didn't know red wine from white wine. Right. Remember, they went through that whole process of trying to teach him how to be a millionaire, yes, and act like he had money and know the finer things in life. I'm sure that's part of this, too, is they'll take this average British guy and try to teach him to be royal.
I can't believe you could find 12 people who wouldn't see through the premise being completely impossible.
Yes.
Yeah.
They that a member of the British, royal family is going to marry a chick from a reality TV show in America. Like, why would that not set off every bell in your head?
Yeah.
Right.
They should know. Funny enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
It's one of the women there.
See, she fell for
She's
it.
She's confused. They should know that they could never be royal.
Oh, no, you did it!
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you so much.
File?
What? Are you kidding? That was the best thing that's been on this show this year.
Stand corrected.
File. File your ass, beer mug. We're out of time, right? We want to make time for Eddie F., so I'm going to go right to celebrity birthdays. Give me a little birthdays, because since you're here in the room with me, can I?
Birthday.
There we go.
It's my candle blowing birthday.
Good. Lady Gaga's 28 years old today. Julia Stiles turns 33. Actor Nick Frost, one of my favorite funny men, is 42 years old today. Vince Vaughn, speaking of funny, he's 44. Salt of Salt and Peppa is 48.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake. If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake. If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake. If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake.
You don't get no birthday cake.
So good.
Did you ever think in a million years that Salt is older than Vince Vaughn?
Wow. Wow.
Salt is 48 and Vince Vaughn's 44.
I guess, yeah. I guess that makes sense when you think about it. They were big in the 80s.
Yeah. Country singer Reba McEntire. She's 59 years old today.
My friend.
Kelly Clarkson's mother-in-law.
Kelly Clarkson's mother-in-law and Lisa May's former co-star from the hit CW series Reba. I think it was on the CW.
I think
it might have been on UPN. I can't remember how long ago that show was on. It may have been the Dumont Network.
Were you the Red or the Blue Network? Do you remember, Lisa?
I don't remember.
Lisa May co-starred with Reba on that show, and I believe we were lucky enough to hunt down the scene that Lisa was in. Lisa played an attendee at a wedding where Reba was watching her ex-husband marry his new wife, and chaos ensues when Reba sews herself to the new bride's gown.
That's crazy, and she ends up having to walk down the aisle right behind her.
Oh, Reebs.
I know.
How you make us laugh.
It's the ex-wife. Talk about not being able to let go.
was pretty cool.
How you didn't get your own spin-off series, I still don't know to this day, Lisa.
And where's your Emmy, by the way?
Right?
Where's your Emmy?
You can just hear it. You don't even have to watch it. You can just hear it.
Yeah. Get some headphones for our guest, please. Somebody? Headphones?
So weird.
Hey, Eddie Ift.
Hello.
What's going on, man? Eddie got here 5 seconds ago. Very impressive. Well done. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing I'm miming for radio because that always goes well.
You seem shocked to see me.
Yeah, it is a little strange.
We've met in person, though, right?
We have met in
person.
Okay,
foolishness.
And I'm always in Seattle, and you never come across the sound to see me.
That's actually true. Let me tell you about our friend Eddie Ift, by the way. He lives in Australia now, so it's a real rare occasion when we get a chance to see him in good old United States of America. Tell me about this bizarre 2014 you're having.
I just flew back from Australia 2 days ago for April Foolish.
Look how dark he is.
I know. I wanted to ask you about that. What are you even doing down under?
I became Aboriginal.
Okay, yeah. Good. You joined a tribe, did you? Hunting your own food?
Living in the tall grass. And I flew back yesterday, and I don't know my name right now.
Yeah. Understood.
And then I'm going to leave right after April Foolishness and head back to Australia.
For like 3 more weeks or more, right?
I have another month of touring in Australia.
Wow.
And then I come back and I start touring the States. I've got like 2 months of touring in the States, and then I'm going to go climb under a rock and hide for a while.
Why are you so popular in Australia? Because you're not that popular here.
No, I'm not popular in Australia either. I've just forced myself upon them. I'm like David Hasselhoff. I've decided that's where I'm going to lay roots.
What kind of rooms are you playing down there?
Actually, I'm playing theaters, which is kind of weird.
What? You
know? Yeah, I swear. And it's funny. People come out to theater, and I'm like, really? Well, the last festival I played in a tent, which goes really well when next to you is a guy that, like, juggles chainsaws.
Okay. Oh, my God.
That kind of deal.
Yeah, it helps. Comedy goes really well with – on one side of me, I had this, like, gay techno club, and on the other side, I had a guy juggling chainsaws.
Now, Australia is on the dream list of many Americans. In fact, every time they do one of those lists, where do you most want to travel in the world? Australia is always number one for most Americans. Most of us don't get to go because it's so goddamn far and because you need enough time off to make it worthwhile.
Right.
Do you love it down there?
I do love Australia, and I love to surf, and I like the people. They're very laid back.
Could you live there?
Yeah, absolutely. I could, but I got this thing called family,
yeah.
And they ruin everything.
They're not going to find you in a country as big as Australia. You could go deep enough. They couldn't get you.
I know, but my parents are here, and my parents are their 50th wedding anniversary is this Saturday, so I'm actually flying to Pittsburgh. For Saturday night, or I'm sorry, for Friday night. Friday night, I'm flying to Pittsburgh. I'm going to fly back here Saturday morning for April Foolishness.
Oh, my God. You are going to die.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Breathing that recycled air and touching all those people and all those germs on the airplane.
Good for you.
Now, back to Australia, just because I personally am so fascinated with it. So surfing, that I get that, but you could surf here. What else is it about Australia that is just so enchanting for
you? It's like America in the 1950s. It's not crowded. Everybody makes a good wage, so people are happy. There's a big middle class. It's not it's not like America. Like people that work at McDonald's make like $25 an hour.
Wow.
So you just
have you had any nature encounters that have been terrifying? Because isn't that the thing about Australia? Is there more animals on the ground that can kill you than anywhere in the world?
Only at the zoo. I went to the Taronga Zoo and we were filming something, and a guy takes this snake, puts it in my face, and goes, "This is the most dangerous snake in the world."
I'm sorry, Eddie. It doesn't sound like an Australian guy. Could I hear it again, please?
Oh, mate, this is the most dangerous. No, I can't do it. The only accent I can do requires lots of swearing because I do a Bogan accent, which is their redneck. And I can do it, but it would involve me like dropping the C-bomb like 12 times.
We'd actually prefer you pass on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So you haven't had any of those crazy like lizards or anything like that?
I had the last place I stayed, I had a couple spiders, and I would take photos of them. I would put it on Twitter and be like, "Can anybody identify this? Am I going to die?"
That's hilarious.
One time I was walking into in Perth, I was walking into my theater, and there was an act on stage, and underneath I had to go through like a crawl space to get to the stage, and I was about to go, and the guy goes, wait, mate, no, and I went, what? He goes, oh, that one will kill you.
Oh,
there was a redback spider right in front of us.
And they just grow up learning to identify that stuff and just be careful, right?
But I've never met anyone over there. I do have a friend over there that's been attacked by a shark twice.
Wow.
Yes.
That's hitting the lottery.
While surfing?
The wrong kind of lottery.
That's like the guy, you know, there's a guy that was struck by lightning seven times
or
something.
Right.
And then he died from suicide. But he killed himself because no one would hang out with him.
I'm sure.
This guy, I meet this guy one day and I was in Byron Bay and my friend said, hey, this guy will take you surfing. And I went, okay. And he said, we're going to go to Talos.
Which guy? The guy with the one leg? Yeah, that guy.
Pretty much. I go, I'm not going there. I've stood up on the headland and looked down. I go, there's way too much animal life in the water. He goes, no, it's fine. It's fine. I've been attacked by a shark there.
Oh, my God.
So it's fine?
And I went, I heard about you on the news. I saw you and everything. And I went, yeah, I'll surf with you because what are the chances of the most unlikely incident happening to somebody twice?
Absolutely.
And he goes, well, it has happened twice.
And he's still trying to get somebody to go out with him because he wants competition in the water.
Yeah,
that's
why.
He wants the shark to have another choice.
I was like, you have a certain smell, maybe.
That's unbelievable. Eddie Ift, the jet lagged Eddie Ift, is here in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Before we talk about what we're going to do next, Eddie, who is this woman?
Oh, my God.
People keep asking me now, and they think it's my wife. That's my Twitter picture.
Yes, this is the avatar. If you follow Eddie on Twitter, and you should, he's funny, at Eddie Ift. And it's a woman who looks like she's about 60 years old. And those have got to be J's?
That's the amount of PSIs in her breasts.
All right. Are those J's or K's or something like
that?
That's about as big as you could carry, right? All right. Where'd you meet her, this lovely flower?
At the AVN Awards in Las Vegas.
Is she a former porn actress?
I don't know what she is. I think she's a trampoline.
Or does she do grandpa and grandma porn now, I wonder?
I saw her, like I was walking through the Hard Rock Hotel, and I saw her, and I said, excuse me, I need to be with you. We need to have photos and other things. And people will sometimes, if you Google Eddie Ift wife, I think she comes up first.
Oh, that's nice for your wife.
Your wife must be very pleased that everyone thinks you're married to this lady. This photo that you use as your avatar is just so great because you have the look on your face that we all have if we were to see that woman, which is, oh my God, those can't be real.
They're amazing.
That's fantastic. All right, Eddie is in town for a brief moment. He's going to be joining us next Saturday night at the Shrine Auditorium for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. Eddie is a veteran. He's been on the bill before. There's a great lineup again this year. Your friend Jim Jeff. Jeffries, of course, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Taylor Williamson.
Who was the last one?
Taylor Williamson.
Who's that?
You know who that is. He's the guy who you hate.
Oh.
You guys are having a feud.
Feud.
I mean, you guys are going to be showing up with your own security. It's going to be a full-time job for K-Rock to keep you guys separated backstage.
That'd be a great steel cage match.
I believe he said the same thing about you when he was in. Oh, Eddie Ift, I'm unfamiliar with his work. I'm sorry. Anyway, there are tickets. A few seats still available if you want to buy them. Where do you go, Muggs? I'm trying to remember. I can't.
Ticketmaster!
Thank you very much. Proceeds go to benefit the Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU, but we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets right now. A private balcony box for you and 9 friends. How's that, Eddie?
And a lap dance from Kevin.
And a lap dance from Kevin. Sure, we'll throw that in there for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. But here's what you have to do. You have to call right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you have to make Eddie Ift laugh.
Can you make Eddie laugh?
That was unnecessary.
I already did laugh.
That was unnecessary.
Whoever did that, I laughed. You get free tickets.
He is a professional comedian, so you've got to bring it. Eddie, you like jokes, right?
Yeah, and this can get scary. The last time I was in one of these competitions was in New York. I used to be on a radio station in New York, and they brought a guy. The person you had to make laugh was a transvestite that they had given an enema to, who stood over a baby pool. And whoever could get him to pass the...
No.
Yeah.
No. Well, this is not that kind of show,
okay.
Eddie.
Okay.
This is
okay.
not... That's...
Okay.
No.
So there's not going to be any...
You can feel free... Look, only one person wins. So you can feel free to be honest. You don't have to... You know. I mean, if you laugh, you laugh. And if more than one person makes you laugh, we'll do a drawing.
Okay.
And we'll see who wins the tickets. But it's a private balcony box for you and 9 friends to see the great Eddie Ift on stage at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014. If you can make Eddie laugh, we'll put you on the air next. 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Hey, shh. Hey, we're on the air. Kevin and Beach on a Friday morning at 106.7 KROQ. The great Eddie Ift in studio with us. Hi, Eddie.
Hello.
I appreciate you didn't fall asleep during that song, by the way, with all the flying, all the jet lag and everything you've been doing.
Yeah.
You're holding together pretty well.
I'm kind of wired.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been like... doing coke or something. not that I've ever done that.
You're on the bill next Saturday night at the Shrine Auditorium with Jim Jeffries, Patton Oswalt, Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Taylor Williamson.
Who?
House music by Mike Realm. It's going to be a great show. You can buy your tickets. A few still remaining. Great local charities, Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. But how much better would it be to win right now a private balcony box for you and nine friends if you can make Eddie laugh?
Can you make Eddie laugh?
All right, Eddie Ift, professional comedian. We're going to give these folks a chance to get a joke in. If you like it, they go into the hopper. They might win the box. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's start with Ryan. He's up first. He's on line one. Hi, Ryan. Make Eddie laugh.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey.
So, why did Sarah fall off the swing?
Why did who fall off the swing?
Sarah.
Sarah. I don't know.
She why? Has no arms. Knock, knock.
I am just confounded by that. She had no arms. Knock, knock. Knock.
Wait. Now, knock, knock.
now, knock, knock?
Okay. I'm going to speak for Eddie. Thanks for calling, Ryan. See you later. It wasn't just me. That was confusing,
yeah,
right?
I think he put one part in front of another part.
I'm confused. Leo.
Two jokes together.
You're up next on the Kevin DeBeecher. Go ahead.
Hey, Eddie. What do you call a Canadian girl who can't sing?
I don't know what.
Justin Bieber.
It got me. It's your call, though, Eddie.
He didn't laugh.
He says no. Nope. Sorry, Leo.
I also think the Malaysian flight's on the LAX tarmac.
Now that's
that was a joke from my Twitter.
Ah, gotcha. All right, let's go to Johnny. He's up next. He's on line three. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, how's it going?
Make Eddie laugh.
What did one flag say to the other?
What?
Nothing. It just waved.
Heard it.
Okay, no. Sorry. That's fine. Hey, look, this is the greatest prize. This is a private balcony box at April Fool's just for you and nine friends. You got to bring it. Danny, you're up next. By the way, are all of our listeners getting their jokes out of Highlights Magazine? Are we not more sophisticated than this?
Well, I mean, we're asking for essentially one-line jokes.
Hi, Danny. You're on the air with Eddie F. Good luck.
Hey, how's it going, Eddie?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, where do you find a dog with no arms and no legs?
Where do you find them?
Yeah.
Where?
Right where you left them.
Best one yet.
But is it good enough?
So is
it good enough
to
go in the drawing or not?
No,
nope.
No.
Okay.
All right, Tom, you're up next. Line five. Hey, you can still get in at 1-800-520-1067. Make Eddie laugh. Tom, go.
All right. You want to hear a joke about my penis? Never mind. It's too long.
Nope.
You're just reading his face,
almost,
right, Lisa?
Yep.
Almost. All right. Alex is up next. Hi, Alex. You're on the Kevin DeBeecher Show. Go ahead.
Morning, party people. Lisa. Good morning. All right, Eddie. You ever heard of corduroy pillows?
No.
You haven't heard of corduroy pillows?
No.
They're making headlines everywhere, man.
Okay, wait.
Headlines.
Hold on. Oh, because of the lay on the face and the. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn you to hell, Alex. May I speak for your Eddie? You have to say no. Don't call. Don't listen.
I'm laughing at your reactions.
All right. I'm feeling good about Steve, though.
Free tickets for Bean.
He's on line seven. He's next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up? How are you guys doing today?
Well, very poorly. I got to tell you, the show was humming along until this last 2 minutes. What do you got for me?
All right, here we go. What happens to pastors who eat chili dogs?
What?
They have to sit in their own pew.
Eddie, what say you?
Let's give it to him.
All right, you're in the drawing. Hang on. We've just got time for a couple more. So Steve is a possible. Let's see how Peter does. Hi, Peter. Hey, yo. Peter. Go ahead.
Hey, how do you know if a cockroach is gay?
How?
If he comes out of the closet.
Put him in.
All right, in the drawing as well. All right, now we're humming. Let's
you guys
go to,
are wearing him down.
Let's go to Ryan. This is Guantanamo. This is the 40th hour of him having to do something he's starting to wear. Ryan, you're our final contestant to make Eddie F. laugh. Good luck.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
All right, where does Kanye West get all his inspiration from?
Where?
From what? From what band or what?
All right, I think we've heard enough, Brian. It's going to be Steve,
right,
or it's going to be Peter. Who gets the private balcony box for you and nine friends for Kevin DeBeecher's April Foolishness?
Steve.
Yeah.
Steve
is our winner.
Let's go to Steve on line seven. He was the pastor with the chili dogs. So Saturday night, you got a party. Come on down, see us all.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for playing. Make Eddie Ift laugh.
Can you make Eddie laugh?
That was my favorite episode of Hee Haw. I love that one. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. It is 9:42. Ralph Garman joins us in studio for a final showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph? Have you met our good friend Eddie Ift, who's sitting in with us here?
You may forget, as want to happen here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but I'm the man responsible for bringing Eddie Ift on to this show.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it happened.
Why did you do that to us?
Because I met Eddie and loved Eddie, and I thought he was hilarious. Uh-huh. And he came in
right
to be our sports guy.
But now we can't get rid of him.
Yeah. And I don't have to do sports, thank God.
And then he came back and was his funny self. And
it's
we
funny that
loved him and we're using him. And now he's in April Foolishness, and he's a regular on the show. And yes, you're welcome. You're welcome, you're welcome.
And I'm now an Eagles fan.
What I like is that Eddie came in to audition for sports, and it went so well that the boss said, you know, you guys don't need a sports guy. Yeah. That's what I like.
And if those are options, then we're going without sports then. Just to make sure that nothing like that ever happens again.
Story of my life.
Yeah. I have a quick correction, and then I have breaking news. It's a very important showbiz beat. My first correction was last showbiz beat. I did mention a touching tribute to the legendary actor Sam Jaffe, a great character actor who was on television in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. He was also in the movies from the 30s, and just a terrific guy. I mentioned his passing at the age of 93. All that is true, but it happened in 1984.
Wait, he died in 1984? Is this the late breaking news?
No.
How did this happen?
This is a correction. Well, Lisa, we use a little behind the scenes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We, as well as our own research here on the show, when we look into news stories or even showbiz news or things like that, we also use what's called a prep service.
Yes.
And that prep service will, every morning when we come in, they've already compiled a list of stories for us to use.
So they've been
politics,
to TMZ
showbiz
and E
news,
and Yahoo and put it all together for us.
Political stuff and global news and showbiz news, all a bunch of stuff. And sometimes we draw from that. If we need additional material, we draw from that prep service. And that was an item from this morning's prep service.
No
yes.
way.
And so I mentioned it last hour, and I got several emails from people saying, yes, it's a sad thing that he died, but he did do it 30 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Would have been more sad if you got no emails.
Yes. Well, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, thanks, first of all, for setting me straight. But second of all, who's doing the research on Sam Jaffe after I mentioned him? Who's going to Google to find out more about Sam Jaffe, an actor no one knows in the first place?
Wow.
So he did pass away in March, March 24th to be exact, but it was 1984.
Oh, hold on. Hold on, guys. Oh, I'm just getting terrible news. Oh,
what's that?
Gandhi has been shot.
Oh, no.
No.
My God, this is awful. He was so cool.
Gandhi wasn't shot, was he?
Yeah, he was.
Was he? Was
yeah.
he shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, by Navy SEALs.
He was hiding in that spider hole, wasn't he? Yeah. So I just want a quick correction. Not a really correction, because I was right. Sam Jaffe did die.
Okay.
But it is about 30 years
sure.
old, that
All
story.
Right.
And then the breaking news, even more tragic than the passing of Sam Jaffe, if you can imagine, is I just found out from sources close to the Kevin and Bean Show and the Showbiz Beat that, Eddie, you are no longer going to be doing your podcast.
Yeah, we're
going to... You're hilarious.
We're going to end
world-famous...
Talkins.
That's what made you famous, though.
Yeah, but I got bored of it. I've been doing it for 3.5 years, 350 episodes.
But you were almost good at it.
I know. But we are, we're actually doing a new show. And the show, what happened was, I do the podcast out of my house. When I started it, I lived with Jim Jeffries. I now live with a wife.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like the show in the house.
She doesn't like the red wine on the couch.
Tom Rhodes incident.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
She doesn't like the porn stars in the bedrooms. She doesn't like the beer boarding on the front deck. She doesn't like.
Holy crap!
Yeah, there's a lot. The hot dog eating the gay porn hot dog eating competition in the. Yeah, there's a lot. So she's kind of put the kibosh out. But what I did, I was looking for a studio and I couldn't find studio space in LA that was cheap. So I decided to make a mobile podcast studio. Because what do celebrities as yourself, Ralph, hate more than anything? Coming to my house in Venice.
The parking was complex.
Well, now we're going to come to you.
How about
so
that?
So we're buying a school bus, a short one.
Naturally.
Appropriately.
And we are decking it, pipping out the inside of it,
All
turning
right.
into a mobile studio. And we are going to be taking it all over the, like, we'll go to comedy clubs and festivals and to April Foolishness type
That's
things.
That's great.
And have people come on the bus and record on the bus, and we will film and record it all. And it's going to get out of control because you know, the people that work for me are not normal, and they're all going to get arrested on this thing. And
you need a like an Uber app on my phone that if I ever need comedy in my neighborhood, I just
That's
dial you
a
up.
Great idea.
And you come on over to the house.
Oh. You do have an interesting support staff.
Yeah, yeah,
working
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, they're like sure. people that couldn't get jobs anywhere except from me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope you'll be calling it the Short Bus.
It is called the Short Bus, and I had to call. The advertising agency that works with us. And I was like, we have enough trouble now selling the show because of the
exploits. Right. Yeah. Potty mouth.
And I said, the Short Bus, is that going to have... Oh, no. No one will care. Except for people with mentally challenged children. Then you're
right.
in trouble.
Right. And they all work for you anyway, mostly.
That's
right. The mentally challenged
well,
don't
that,
work for
that,
you.
That's the thing. The Mongs are what we call the guys that work for us, who, by the way, are coming to April Foolishness without tickets. I told them they couldn't have tickets. Because last time, remember, they painted themselves.
That's right.
They were body painted yeah. with tuxedos
that's
on.
Right.
Yeah.
So now they have, since we don't have the Short Bus yet, they have a Winnebago.
Okay.
And they're going to be tailgating on the street somewhere outside April Foolishness.
When will the Short Bus podcast be up and running?
We're hoping May. I'm doing a Kickstarter to raise a lot of the money, and because I didn't realize I got to get a generator that doesn't make noise because we've got a lot of outlets and.
You're way over your head, aren't you?
Way, yeah. way. I thought it was going to be easier. It's the worst thing. Worst decision.
This
I've
is
ever made.
Why. You don't get married, kids.
Yeah. Right? They ruin all the fun.
Right?
They just ruin all the fun.
God, you get one wife, and all of a sudden you can't have porn stars coming to the house every day.
And Eddie's wife is Amish, too. That was part of the yeah. problem. She always wants to do is raise barns and churn butter. She doesn't want to do anything fun. So.
Well, that sounds great. It sounds like it'll be like the Ghostbusters of comedy.
Yeah,
siren will go off and you guys will pull up.
Exactly. We'll be outside your houses waiting for you.
I like it.
I don't know how we're going to get it on your island, but we will have it there.
I like it.
Take the ferry. All right, let's do some quick showbiz stories. This must make all the graduates of Skidmore College very proud. Skidmore College in Sarasota Springs, New York. Skidmore College sounds like a...
It's a bad
like
idea.
Like a faux comedy mm-hmm. college anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sounds like a college Zac Efron would end up at and get beat up.
Skidmarks College. They are offering a course now in the sociology of Miley Cyrus. This will be a real thing. You can take it and get a grade in it and everything. The sociology of Miley Cyrus.
Now, do you have any information at all about the syllabus? I mean, are they going to be discussing, how she represents women in 21st century America or the advertising or the media?
Symbolism of the tongue hanging out of the side of the face.
Yeah,
It will be followed by another course called Llama Tooth Bitches Through History, which will be following up. Miley Cyrus, a course in Miley Cyrus. This isn't the first time there have been pop culture pop superstar courses. Rutgers still offers a course called Politicizing Beyonce. I'm not sure what politicizing means,
but
it involves a poll, and I'm all
I
for
like
it.
I like sticking out my tongue a lot and stuff like that, and like dancing with teddy bears and mm-hmm. stuff like that,
yeah.
And yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right.
Yeah. Avicii was in the hospital for a while yesterday. TMZ says the star had to cancel a gig in Miami Beach, but no word on what was wrong with him. However, it could have been too serious. He's out and planning still to headline Miami's Ultra Music Festival tonight. So all those people who spent all that money on ecstasy and glow sticks, they will not be disappointed because Avicii will be there.
Was it Avicii in the hospital or the guy that sings his songs?
I have no idea. And there's more to the story about Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin and their conscious uncoupling. Not only are they breaking up better than anyone ever has ever.
Well, they're the best of friends, Ralph.
They're
closer than they've ever been.
And they're better than you. But they also are going on what they're calling a breakup moon. Before they released the statement regarding their conscious uncoupling on Gwen's website, goop.com. First of all, if you're naming your website goop.com, you already don't have any idea of how the internet works.
Right.
Because people are so disappointed when they go to goop.com.
Not what I expected. I'll tell you that.
It's all recipes and all about swishing coconut oil in your mouth to pull the poisons out of your gums. It's not what I want when I see goop.com. But before they posted that statement, they decided to go on a breakup moon. This is the opposite of a honeymoon. This is the trip, the romantic trip you take as you're splitting up. And so they went to a small isolated island in the Bahamas to avoid the media attention following their uncoupling announcement. So they are currently vacationing together in midst of their conscious uncoupling on their breakup moon.
Eddie, do you believe that they're vacationing together, or do you think they just both went someplace out of the public eye?
I think they should both go somewhere out of the public eye.
Together forever. Yeah. Amen. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lady Gaga is 28 years old today. Actress Julia Stiles celebrates her 33rd birthday. Nick Frost. What a funny guy. Did you see that End of the World? What was that?
That was a funny film. Nick's great.
It's 42 great years old. Vince Vaughn's 44. Salt of Salt and Peppa's 48. And country singer Reba McEntire, who coincidentally will be Eddie's first guest on the Short Bus podcast. Reba McEntire will be stopping by. They're going to go to Dollywood together in the Short Bus.
I would pay to hear that.
She's 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Hey, not yet. And thank you, Eddie F. For
thank you guys.
Stopping
for
by. Follow
Thanks,
Eddie.
Eddie
on Twitter at Eddie F. And we'll see you Saturday night at April Foolish. Just got a great show planned for you on Monday. Now, Beer Mug. Andrew Siciliano is going to be joining us in studio. Recap of the NCAA tournament. Also, Robert Kirkman talking about the season finale of this Sunday night's Walking Dead. It's all happening Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Wash all this old lady vagina off me.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
How dare you talk about something you know literally nothing about.
Roll another one.
What is happening?
Just like the other one.
The plane.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Aww.
And I need another hit.
Douchebags, and I hate them all.
Just like the other one.
Stop it, America!
This one seems to be about to end.
That's not brown rice.
I don't have another cent.
Look at the imposing size of that gummy bear.
It's
the most racist thing I've ever heard.
Just pass it around.
He was riding dirty.
Very well, job done, baby.
I just pass it on down.
Alrighty. I guess this is it. Sad face.
Yes, sad faces all round.
Take care, you guys. Bye-bye.
Hi.
That's me being real, baby girl. I'm up out here. This is Big Snoopy D.O. Double Jizzle for Shizzle Dizzle. It's been real, baby girl. Holla.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Anyway, it was a blast. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope to see you soon, and I'll be back next week. Everything will be back to normal. Anyway, here's a little message you might enjoy.